This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Julianne with the April 5th, 2024 edition of The Week Junior U.S. As always, we'll start with the week's big news. The first article is that the U.N. calls for a ceasefire in Gaza. The Security Council of the United Nations, or UN, an organization of 193 nations, voted for a resolution on March 25 that calls for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. A war between Israel and Hamas, a terrorist group based in Gaza, has been taking place there since October. While the UN talks were underway, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken traveled to the Middle East to meet with leaders there about the conflict. The U.S. and many other countries and aid organizations are seeking solutions to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, where millions of people do not have adequate food and basic supplies. What is the resolution? The Security Council, which consists of 15 member nations working to maintain international peace and security, voted 14-0 to pass the resolution. It demands a stop to the fighting in Gaza during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which is taking place from March 10 to April 9 this year. About 99% of people in Gaza are Muslim. The resolution also called for the immediate release of more than 100 hostages that Hamas took from Israel in October. The U.S. abstained from, or did not participate in, the March 25th vote, saying it did not agree with the wording of the resolution. Israel responded to the vote by saying it would not follow the resolution. Was there an attempt to pass a resolution before this? The UN Security Council has been working to draft a resolution for about 5 months, and several attempts have been made to agree on wording. Different member nations have rejected different drafts. The U.S., a top ally of Israel, rejected some of the versions and approved one on March 22. However, that resolution did not pass because it was rejected by China, Russia, and Algeria. Why was the UN resolution passed? The UN and international humanitarian groups say people in Gaza are at imminent risk of starvation due to lack of access to food that they also lack necessities such as water, fuel, medical care, and medicine. While the fighting continues, it is difficult for aid to get into the area and be distributed. In addition, the world has continued to demand the return of the hostages that are being held in Gaza. What else is happening? Separate from the efforts of the Security Council, the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt are working to negotiate a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. The two sides agreed to a pause in fighting from November 24 to 30, but fighting resumed on December 1st. On March 20th, Blinken made his sixth trip to the Middle East since the war began in an effort to find a longer-term solution to the conflict. He met with high-level officials in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Israel, as well as families of the hostages. What will happen next? Although resolutions passed by the Security Council are legally binding, the Council has no way to enforce them. It does, however, have ways to punish Israel for ignoring a resolution, such as by imposing economic sanctions or penalties. Meanwhile, aid organizations have found ways to help people in Gaza. One group, a nonprofit called World Central Kitchen, sent nearly 200 tons of food to Gaza by boat and has sent a second ship that is set to arrive soon. The U.S. and other nations are building a temporary pier off the coast of Gaza to allow more aid to arrive by sea. The information bubble is Did You Know? The U.N. Security Council held its first meeting in the U.K. in 1946 and is now based in New York City. And the sidebar is, who is Antony Blinken? Antony Blinken is the 71st U.S. Secretary of State. He was a lawyer, journalist, and speechwriter before joining the State Department in 1993. Blinken has worked under Presidents Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton. When Biden was Vice President, Blinken served as his National Security Advisor from 2009 to 2013. The next article, Historic Leader Elected in Wales. On March 20th, Vaughan Gething took office as First Minister of Wales, becoming the first black head of government of any European nation. The First Minister is the leader of the Welsh government and represents the country at home and abroad. Wales has a population of more than 3 million people and is part of the UK, which also includes England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. Gething, age 50, is a lawyer and was born in Zambia. He moved to Wales at age of 2. In 2011, he became the first black minister to serve in any UK country and has served as the Welsh Health Minister and Economy Minister. On March 16, he was elected head of the Welsh Labour Party. Because the Labour Party holds the most seats in Parliament, which is similar to Congress, Gething became head of the government. For the first time, the heads of the four countries that make up the UK are women or people of color. Today we turn a page in the book of our nation's history, a history we write together, Gething said. And now the world's happiest countries are named. The annual World's Happiness Report has been released, with Finland named the happiest country in the world for the 7th year in a row. The report, compiled by an international team of scientists who study well-being, has been published every year since 2012. The researchers asked people in 143 countries to rank their satisfaction with the quality of life. Contributing factors included the economy, personal freedom, social connections, and support, and whether their governments are honest. People in the happiest countries were found to have high levels of social support, such as accessible health care and education. Sanna Marin, Finland's former prime minister, said Finns feel their government enables everyone to have a good life. Many also said their satisfaction comes from a strong sense of community and people doing good deeds for one another. Two neighbors of Finland, Denmark and Iceland, were the second and third happiest nations. The U.S. dropped to 23rd this year after ranking 15th in 2023. It is the first time the U.S. has moved out of the top 20 happiest nations, with dissatisfaction among young people cited as a reason. This year, for the first time, the report looked at responses across age groups. In the U.S., the majority of people under 30 were unhappy with the high housing costs, student loan debt, social media, climate change, and the war in Gaza. John Clifton, an author of the study, said the project's goal has always been providing leaders with the right information about what people say makes life worthwhile. The word of the week this week is happy, H-A-P-P-Y. The word happy did not exist in English until the 14th century. Before then, we were glad. Happy is based on hap, an older word meaning fortune or chance. The first meaning of happy was to be lucky or fortunate, and only later came to describe the feelings of pleasure we associate with happiness today. This week in history, on April 3, 1860, the Pony Express, a mail delivery service involving riders on horses, was created. The 1,800-mile route began in St. Joseph, Missouri, and ended in Sacramento, California. A new horse was provided every 10 to 15 miles, and riders would take breaks after traveling 75 miles. The business ended when the Transcontinental Telegraph, a faster way of communicating, was invented in 1861. In Animals and the Environment, we learn that an expedition reveals new sea creatures. The ocean is full of wildlife, and experts estimate that as much as 91% of that has not yet been studied. Now, an expedition off the coast of Chile has uncovered more than 100 new marine species. Researchers from the Schmidt Ocean Institute spent almost a month exploring the deep seafloor and seamounts, or underwater mountains. They visited the Nazca and Salas y Gomez ridges, two undersea mountain chains that were previously unexplored. These ridges stretch for about 1,800 miles. The researchers sent a robotic underwater vehicle with lights and a camera down to a depth of 14,000 feet. This revealed more than 100 species that the researchers believe have never been identified before. One creature the researchers found was a new type of sea toad. Despite their name, sea toads are actually fish. This sea toad has textured skin that made it look like it had been knitted. It also had the ability to walk on the seabed using its fins. Marine biologist Javier Solanas, the head of the expedition, told National Geographic that this walking motion uses less energy than swimming does. It is also a hunting method for the fish, which has a glowing lure between its eyes to attract prey. Another discovery from the expedition was a red crustacean known as a squat lobster with spikes all over its legs. The research team also saw corals, sea urchins, mollusks, giant sponges, and octopuses, as well as fields of sea lilies, marine animals that look like plants with feathery leaves. Each mountain the scientists visited had its own ecosystem, or groups of plants and animals that affect one another. Experts believe there may be more than 100,000 sea mounts worldwide, but humans have explored less than 0.1% of them. A second expedition is currently underway to explore more of the area's underwater mountains. Selena said more needs to be done to keep these hidden worlds safe from harm. Protecting only a few is not enough, he told National Geographic. And the information bubble is clawsome. There are more than 1,000 species of squat lobsters living in oceans around the world. And the sidebar is counting the uncounted. A global project called Ocean Census launched in 2023 with a goal of identifying 100,000 unknown marine species in 10 years. It is the biggest effort ever undertaken to discover ocean life. Recently, near New Zealand, its researchers discovered about 100 species, including fish, shrimp, and corals. Next, Asian elephants given protection. A Bangladeshi court has banned people from capturing Asian elephants and keeping them in captivity. About 200 of the animals live near Bangladesh, but their numbers have fallen because of hunting and habitat loss. About half of the country's elephants are living in captivity. The court's decision could stop them from being exploited, which means used and treated unfairly. Before the ruling, the Bangladeshi government's forestry department could issue licenses allowing logging companies, which are those that cut down trees, to capture elephants and use them to move logs. Many of these elephants were then sold to other people, even though that was not officially allowed. A lawyer for the government said some of the animals were exploited for money or forced to perform in circuses. Activists now want to rehabilitate the elephants, which means restore them to health. Several countries in Asia, such as Thailand and Nepal, have found success in rehabilitating captive elephants, said Rakibul Haq Emil, leader of the animal rights group that brought the case. We shall do it here. And the information bubble is, can you dig it? If no freshwater source can be seen, Asian elephants use their trunks to dig for water underground. The animal of the week this week is Cantor's soft-shell turtle. Scientists found a nesting site for Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles in Kerala, India. This is the first breeding population they have seen. The turtles are critically endangered, so the team is setting up a nursery where they can grow up safely. They live for more than 100 years in rivers and streams in South Asia. They can grow up to 6.5 feet by eating fish, shellfish, and water plants. And the fun fact is, they spend most of their life lying still underground, surfacing twice a day to breathe. The Ask an Expert question is, do hedgehogs have tails? Yes, hedgehogs absolutely have tails. Their tails are not very noticeable, since they are about an inch long and are usually hidden under the hedgehog's spines. These little pincushions with legs can curl up into a spiky ball, tucking in their tail along with their heads and their legs. The science and technology section is all about the solar eclipse. The first article, rare total solar eclipse arrives. On April 8, people across parts of North America will be able to witness a rare event, a total eclipse of the sun. This is the first total solar eclipse visible from this part of the world since August 2017. The most recent one before that took place in 1979. What is a solar eclipse? A solar eclipse occurs when the moon moves between Earth and the sun and its shadow appears to cover part or all of the sun. The moon passes between Earth and sun every month, but the three celestial bodies aren't usually lined up in a way that causes an eclipse. Celestial means having to do with the sky. When the moon covers only part of the sun, it's called a partial solar eclipse. When the moon and the sun are aligned so that the moon fully covers the sun, it's called a total solar eclipse. During this event, the sky will gradually go entirely dark, as if it were dusk or dawn, and then it will brighten up again. What are the stages of a total eclipse? As the moon begins passing over the sun will appear to be a crescent shape that gradually grows smaller. Wavy shadow bands will be visible on the ground or on the sides of buildings on Earth. Next, points of light, known as Bailey's beads, will appear around the moon's edges. Once the Bailey's beads begin to disappear, the diamond ring stage will begin. The last visible light from the sun's atmosphere will create a ring around the moon, and one large bright spot, like a diamond set in a ring, will appear. The last stage is called totality. That's when the moon completely covers the sun. Eclipse watchers may see a thin circle of pink around the moon, which is called the chromosphere. They may also see the corona. These streams of glowing white light form a circle around the moon, like a crown of light. The corona is, in fact, named for the Latin word for crown. Scientists suggest that people who are observing the eclipse also take a moment to look around them. They may notice that it seems like the sun is setting in all directions. Stars or planets may be brighter and more visible in the darkened sky. It may also be very quiet. After totality, the stages will repeat themselves in reverse as the moon crosses past the sun and moves away. How can people see the total solar eclipse this year? How much of the eclipse people will be able to see depends on where they are located. To see the totality, viewers must be in a 115-mile-wide diagonal band across North America called the Path of Totality. Weather will also play a part. If skies are clear, people will be able to see more than if they are overcast. No matter where people are, it's very important for them to wear special eye protection when viewing the eclipse. When will the next one be? The next total solar eclipse that will be visible in the contiguous United States, the 48 states not including Alaska or Hawaii, will be in 2044. The path of totality will touch parts of three states, Montana, South Dakota, and North Dakota. The next article is Animals React When the Sun is Hidden. During the total solar eclipse in 2017, scientists observed how many different animals responded to the extraordinary event. They will do the same this year and are asking the public to help them gather information. During the total eclipse in 2017, researchers observed 17 different species of animals at the Riverbank Zoo in Columbia, South Carolina. When totality occurred and it got dark, most animals behaved as they typically do at night. For example, Komodo dragons, gorillas, and giraffes tried to go indoors where they sleep. Birds called tawny frogmouths, which are active at night, moved around more. Many species also seemed anxious. A male gorilla charged his exhibit's glass, and a group of giraffes began galloping. Flamingos huddled together and looked around constantly. Galapagos tortoises moved faster than usual and looked up at the sky, while a siamang, a type of ape, called out loudly. Other animals like grizzly bears and sea lions did not significantly change their behavior. The 2017 researchers will observe some of the same species again this year. They also hope citizen scientists will help by participating in a program called Solar Eclipse Safari. Anyone can submit observations of zoo animals, house pets, or animals in the wild, like squirrels or deer, during the eclipse. You can find out more at solareclipsesafari.org. In the information bubble is Did You Know? Honeybees searched for food less than usual during the 2017 total solar eclipse. The next article is When a Dragon Ate the Sun. Around the world, ancient cultures had many beliefs around the solar eclipse. Some honored it, but others said it was a bad sign. The word eclipse is from the Greek word for abandonment. Greeks thought an eclipse meant the gods were angry and would abandon or leave them. In many cultures, people thought the sun was being eaten, causing the sky to go dark. The Native American Choctaw people made loud noises to stop a black squirrel from eating the sun, while in China, people beat on drums to stop a dragon. One Hindu myth said an angry demon was trying to gobble up the sun. In some places, a solar eclipse is a time for peace and reflection. The Batamalaliba people in the countries of Togo and Benin believed it was caused by a fight between the sun and the moon. To encourage peace, they settled old differences on Earth. In the U.S., some Navajo people honored this event by observing silence. And the next article is Amazing Invention, Device That Turns Eclipse into Sound. Scientists have created a device called light sound that converts light intensity into sound enabling people who are blind or visually impaired to experience a solar eclipse by hearing it. The device emits a musical tone that grows deeper as the sunlight dims. Light sound can be powered by a battery or laptop and can be heard through headphones or a speaker. About 750 devices have been distributed free of charge across the U.S. Instructions for building a light sound device are also available online for free, so anyone can make one. The how-to section is how to view a stunning sight in the sky. On the afternoon of April 8th, there will be a total solar eclipse, when the moon passes between the sun and Earth and blocks the face of the sun. To enjoy this special event, here's how to get started. Know where to watch. The eclipse path will travel from Mexico to Canada over the U.S. About 32 million people live in the path of totality, which is the parts of the U.S. where people can see the maximum phase of total solar eclipse when the moon completely covers the face of the sun. Some Americans have plans to travel to be in the path of totality. However, everyone in North America should see at least a partial solar eclipse. With an adult's help, you can find out if a local astronomy club, observatory, or park is hosting a viewing party. NASA, the U.S. space agency, is also posting a live stream of the eclipse at tinyurl.com/TWJUS-2024eclipse. Protect your eyes. It's essential to have proper eye protection while watching a total or partial solar eclipse. Without it, the intense light of an eclipse can damage your eyes. Talk to an adult about getting certified solar eclipse glasses, also called viewers, or a handheld solar viewer. If you're planning to use binoculars, a telescope, or a camera, these items will also require the attachment of special purpose solar filters. Don't use solar viewers in combination with binoculars, telescopes, or cameras. The American Astronomical Society offers a list of trustworthy suppliers of solar eclipse viewers and solar filters on its site, aas.org. You can also check with your local library. Some libraries are distributing certified solar eclipse viewers to the public for free. Notice effects of the eclipse. Once the eclipse begins, the moon will spend about an hour gradually covering the sun. During these partial passes of the eclipse, you can watch with your solar viewers. Look at what's happening all around you. For example, the partial sun may cast shadows of small crescent suns. About 15 minutes before totality, notice how daylight begins to change. It may look eerie, and the sky may darken. If you are located in the path of totality, once the moon has completely covered the sun and you can no longer see anything through your solar viewers, you can remove them to look. The sun's bright atmosphere will shine a ring around the moon. People around you may cheer. This totality phase may last about 4 minutes. As soon as a sliver of sun reappears, immediately put your viewers back on. Now on to sports, where we learn about a thrilling Division III win for NYU. Many sports fans are watching the NCAA, or National Collegiate Athletic Association, Division I basketball tournaments, but the Division III women's championships proved to be an exciting competition as well. In the women's final in Columbus, Ohio on March 16, New York University, or NYU, ended a thrilling 31-0 season with a 51-41 win over Smith College. It was the team's first undefeated season in its history and second national title. NYU was also one of the four number one seeded or ranked teams in the tournament, while Smith was a number two. To make it final, NYU beat the 2023 champions Transylvania University in a semifinal game on March 14. Transylvania had won 64 consecutive games heading into the contest. NYU was up by 2 points at the end of the first quarter, but they scored 18 points in the second quarter, which helped them seize control of the game and cruise to a 57-42 win. In the championship, both NYU and Smith played tremendous defense. NYU jumped out to an early 8-0 lead in the first 4 minutes, but Smith answered back with a strong second quarter. NYU was up 23-21 at halftime, then opened the second half with a scoring spurt, taking a 36-28 lead. Smith responded by scoring the next 4 points, but could not get the score any closer for the remainder of the game. NYU forward Natalie Bruins was named the most valuable player of the tournament after the game. "So much hard work went into this, not only this year, but in previous years as well," she said. "But now, it's pure euphoria." And now we'll move on to around the world. The first is the United Kingdom, where Princess Catherine shares diagnosis. In a video message on March 22, Catherine, the Princess of Wales, announced that she had been diagnosed with cancer and is undergoing treatment. She thanked people around the world for their support and asked for privacy for herself and her family. Her husband, Prince William, is next in line for the UK throne. Speaking to others facing the disease, she said, "Please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone." In Milan, Italy, a church artwork is reassembled. 8 panels of an artwork that once decorated an Italian church have been brought back together for the first time in 450 years. The artwork, known as an altar piece, was created by the Italian painter Piero della Francesca in the 15th century. It originally featured 30 panels, but was later taken apart and only 8 panels have been found. They were kept in separate museums until the Poldi Pizzoli Museum reunited them for this exhibit. In Brazil, steps are taken to fight dengue. To control the rising cases of dengue, an infection spread by mosquitoes, scientists are infecting the insects with a bacteria, which are tiny living things, called Wolbachia. These bacteria are harmless to humans but reduce the mosquito's ability to pass on diseases. In one city, Niterói, dengue cases have dropped by 69% since the infected mosquitoes were released. In Spain, a robot helps police. A robotic police dog, designed by researchers at the University of Malaga, was taken on a trial patrol through the city. The 4-legged robot was designed to support police work and detect when traffic rules have been broken, for example, when people ride electric scooters in areas where the scooters are banned. The robot is currently remote controlled, but researchers say it will eventually be able to work on its own. In Iran, the Persian New Year is marked. Celebrations of Nowruz, or Persian New Year, began on March 20. Nowruz, meaning New Day, marks the start of spring. It is celebrated in many countries worldwide and often involves enjoying traditional foods with loved ones. In Iran, celebrations of Nowruz, N-O-W-R-U-Z, or Persian New Year, began on March 20th. Nowruz, meaning New Day, marks the start of spring. It is celebrated in many countries worldwide and often involves enjoying traditional foods with loved ones. In Iran, tables are decorated with items that symbolize hope for the new year, such as sprouts and dried fruit. In India, Holi celebrations are held, H-O-L-I. On March 25, millions of people in India and around the world celebrate Holi. Known as the Festival of Colors, the holiday marks the beginning of spring and signifies the triumph of good over evil for people who follow the Hindu religion. Many people celebrate by lighting a bonfire the evening before and putting bright powder on one another during the day. Well, that's all the time we have this week for the April 5, 2024 edition of The Week Junior. This is Julianne, and have a great week.